sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. There are currently 1,941 and growing architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth who have signed the petition on the website ae911truth.org, demanding a new investigation. Founder Richard Gage became involved in seeking the truth of 9/11 when he heard a speech on the radio in California by Dr. David Ray Griffin discussing why the official conspiracy theory of 19 hijackers with box cutters, etc., could not possibly be true once the evidence is considered. Since then, architect Richard Gage has organized the Architects and Engineers group and website, and they have looked at the evidence and agree with Dr. David Ray Griffin that the official story is full of holes based on the science, and they are demanding a new investigation. Richard Gage spoke in West Hartford, Connecticut in 2007, and again in 2011, and then again in 2012, when he shared the Architects and Engineers 9/11 movie called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. It's a powerful film, and if you came to that last event, you know what I'm talking about. The movie was also aired by the Colorado Public TV station and became the most watched video on the National Public Television website for several weeks. Richard Gage has given me permission to air the audio of the film, so over the next few weeks, you'll hear the Experts Speak Out film. So let's get started with the first part today. Here it is, 9/11, Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, produced by the thousands of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth that the corporate and even many of the alternative media won't tell you about.
Tribute lights in the New York skyline, an annual memorial to the lives lost on 9/11. Yet there's still more light that needs to shine, revealing truths that their family members deserve to know. September 11th, 2001, a day that changed history. Four planes went silent and off course. Two of those planes crashed into the World Trade Center Twin Towers. Several columns were severed, and the jet fuel ignited fires that spread over several floors. About an hour later, millions watched in shock as both towers were suddenly and rapidly destroyed, killing almost 3,000 people, for whom truth and justice may have yet to be served. Hi, I'm Richard Gage, AIA, licensed architect of over 20 years and member of the American Institute of Architects. I'm founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, a nonprofit organization of well over 1,000 technical and building professionals. According to official government reports, the fires weakened the structural steel framing of both twin towers, leading to sudden, progressive, and total collapses. Unknown to most people, a third steel frame high-rise, World Trade Center 7, was also destroyed. Critical questions have been raised by more than 1,500 architects and engineers about the official explanations for the destruction of all three of these buildings. Along with more than 10,000 other concerned individuals, these professionals, collectively comprising more than 25,000 years of experience, have signed our petition. They're calling for a new investigation into the destruction of these three World Trade Center high-rises. This call is based on evidence that reveals a very different destruction scenario than reported by government engineers. This includes abundant scientific forensic data and eyewitness testimony that was omitted from the official reports. You'll be seeing this evidence and hearing from dozens of these technical experts, including many who are among the top in their respective fields. We at AE 9/11 Truth are inspired by President Obama's affirmation to the American people in his inaugural address. How do we accomplish this? We've done our best to fulfill the President's vision by using the scientific method, examining the evidence from the World Trade Center and developing unbiased conclusions from unbiased experts in their fields. Listen to the President provide his account of the pervasive political abuse of science.
And we have watched as scientific integrity has been undermined and scientific research politicized in an effort to advance predetermined ideological agendas.
As coherent sets of scientific facts are brought into focus by the experts, the data, and the witnesses in this film, you'll come to a much greater understanding of the events of 9/11 and will be in a position to draw your own informed conclusions. Also, psychologists, therapists, and counselors, along with theologian David Ray Griffin, who have a deep understanding of the personal issues associated with 9/11, will explain why it is so difficult for us to come to terms with the reality of these events and learn how we can help ourselves and others with this difficult yet vital responsibility. Of course, the ones still most affected by the events of that tragic day are the family members of the victims lost on 9/11. Several have asked to appear in this documentary. Although our focus will be primarily technical, we are deeply moved and honored to give them the opportunity to speak directly to you. Now, let's hear from the AE 9/11 Truth professional petition signers who will share with you what conclusions they came to. Among these experts are high-rise architects and engineers in the fields of structural design, materials science, chemistry, fire protection, metallurgy, as well as physicists, explosives experts, and demolition technicians. Joining them will be firefighters and 9/11 victims' family members who support our call for a new World Trade Center investigation.
I don't want to be involved in conspiracy theories. There are lots of them. They can go on. We can speculate on that forever. What we really need to know is how those buildings came down.
My name is Joel Miller, and I have a Bachelor of Architecture degree from Temple University in Philadelphia. And while I was there in Philadelphia, I worked for two firms on a couple of high-rise buildings. The 13-story Federal Detention Center for Ewing Coal, Cherry, and Broad. I spent about 2 years on that project, and then a year on a high-rise dormitory, about 15 stories for MGA Partners. If we are to believe that fire brought down three buildings on the same day on 9/11, that's very troubling for all of us in the design professions, architects, engineers, even physicists. I'm incredulous that this could have happened, and very troubled by the implications of this possibility. There are thousands of high-rise buildings in the United States, and more being built every day in this country and abroad. As architects and engineers, we have a responsibility to protect people that are users of buildings.
The new World Trade Center, Building 7, looms above the site of its original. Building 7 was a 47-story high-rise, not hit by an airplane. Yet, it was the third modern steel-frame skyscraper to collapse rapidly and symmetrically on 9/11. It was a football field away from the North Tower and sustained minor damage from the falling debris. Building 7's precipitous collapse was blamed on normal office fires.
I'm Kamal Obaid. I have a master's degree in civil and structural engineering from the University of California at Berkeley. I've been a practicing engineer for the last 30 years. Building 7 to me is really what gives it away, because that's a classic case of controlled demolition.
My name is Stephen Dustewald. I'm a licensed professional structural engineer with 37 years of experience in the structural field. I have 25 years of experience as owner and principal of my own structural engineering firm here in Las Vegas. I have focused on nuclear power plant design, large commercial and industrial buildings. I first became aware of the problems with the official account of the collapse when I saw a DVD online from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. They pointed out various problems with the official story, and the ones that caught my attention were the rapid failure of the connections in order for the building to come down at the rate that it did.
My name is Casey Pfeiffer. I am a registered professional structural engineer in San Diego, California. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in civil engineering at the University of Notre Dame. I have been practicing engineering for 15 years, and currently I am the principal of Pacific Coast Structural Engineering in San Diego, California. A friend of mine gave me a blueprint for 9/11 Truth DVD to review, and from that, the evidence that I saw was so compelling that it became obvious that the official story was not correct.
I'm William Rice. I worked for one of the nation's largest design-build construction firms on commercial and industrial and institutional projects in Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore areas. As a professor, taught engineering materials, structures lab, and other building-related courses at Vermont Technical College to architectural and engineering students for 20 years. I watched Building 7 fall at an accelerating rate in 6.5 seconds. This was a massive 47-story structure. The only way that a building can accelerate as it collapses is by having pre-engineered, precisely timed, and precisely placed explosives. In other words, controlled demolition.
My name is David Topete. I have a Master's of Science degree in civil engineering. I am a licensed structural engineer. I design new structures and retrofit existing structures from concrete or masonry or structural steel. In my professional opinion, in my experience, for World Trade Center 7 to collapse straight down upon itself, as the video indicates, as everything that we've witnessed, the supports at the center essentially all had to be taken out at once. I certainly believe that it had to have been controlled demolition, controlled charges, explosives, something of that type, because it was a sudden failure.
I'm Dr. Bob Bowman, Lieutenant Colonel, United States Air Force, retired. Flew 101 combat missions in Vietnam, directed all the Star Wars programs under Presidents Ford and Carter. My PhD is in aeronautics and nuclear engineering from Caltech. I did postdoctoral work at the Von Karman Institute in Brussels, Belgium, in finite element analysis. I taught at 5 universities and colleges, serving as department head and assistant dean. The coup de grace for me was when I found out that Building 7 had collapsed later that day. And when I saw Building 7 come down, to me, Building 7, the fact that it looks like a perfect controlled demolition of an intact building with no visible fires. I mean, that's what I call a smoking gun.
My name is Robert McCoy. I'm an architect, a Bachelor of Architecture from the University of California in Berkeley in 1963. Been licensed in California since about 1964. From about 1965 until about 1985, most of my experience has been in a high-rise, multi-story steel buildings. NIST would have us to believe that these was a typical office fire, scattered office fires, if you will, that brought this building down. Since the mid-60s, I've tried to follow high-rise fires because they're something we worry a lot about as we design these buildings. And I'm not aware of any high-rise building that have come down as a result of fires. I can't remember even a partial collapse in any of these buildings that I've watched over the years.
I'm Steve Barish, founder and president of Barish Architects and Associates, Inc., a 33-year-old architecture planning and engineering firm. We have offices in San Luis Obispo and Pasadena, California. I hold a Bachelor of Architecture degree from the University of Arizona and a Master's of Architecture and Urban Design from Rice University in Houston, Texas. Spent 3 years in London as the first PhD student at the Architectural Association. One of the things that really interested me is how quickly the Tower 7 fell. It fell within 7 seconds approximately from top to bottom. This building was built in the mid-80s, apparently, and met all the known codes at the time. Buildings just don't behave like that.
We're here in Sydney with Jan Utzon, son of the great Jorn Utzon, who designed the Sydney Opera House. What are the features of the collapse of World Trade Center 7 that caused you to be disturbed?
It looked like it was a demolition more than anything else.
My name is Les Young. I'm a licensed architect in both New York State and in California. I've been involved in many large projects, including overseeing several high-rise buildings ranging in size from 14 stories to 40. Over the course of 20 years, I'm mainly called in to help with very large, difficult projects. When I watched Building 7 collapse, it basically left no doubt in my mind that something was wrong. Building 7 had not been hit by a plane. To me, it was obvious that there was some controlled demolition and some explosions involved.
Was the structural steel from World Trade Center 7 preserved, documented, analyzed according to standard procedures for investigating engineering failures?
It was really clear from the beginning that there was this great move to, as quickly as possible, get rid of all of the rubble and move it off.
Because what they did immediately after 9/11 was they started removing the steel, the debris from Tower 7 and all the towers immediately. They sent it off to China to be recycled.
400 truckloads per day of material were taken away from the World Trade Center site and sent to China for recycling.
All of a sudden they had a big incentive to recycle steel for some reason.
Quickly and rapidly they were destroying the structural steel.
The steel was hauled away and melted down before it could be analyzed.
It was already being carted away and destroyed when the FEMA investigators got there about a month after September 11th.
It was being melted down, it was being cut up into pieces so that no real thorough investigation could happen. And that in itself is a crime, and that kind of thing needs to be investigated.
The steel was picked up and carted away before anybody got a good look at it. And the destruction of evidence was a criminal act in itself. It would have answered a lot of questions that we can't answer because we don't have the structural steel to examine.
There were laws violated in the destruction of that evidence. And for the American Society of Civil Engineers to ignore those events is extremely disturbing. And is a violation, in my opinion, of their professional code of ethics.
It was contrary to the way all investigations are done. If an airplane crashes, they seal off the entire area, nobody touches anything, they move it to a secure location, and they reconstruct an aircraft.
Normally, when you have a structural failure, you carefully go through the debris field, looking at each item, photographing every beam as it collapsed and every column where it is in the ground, and you pick them up very carefully and you look at each element. We were unable to do that in the case of Tower 7.
Aside from this one small piece that was found to have intergranular melting, incredibly, none of the other steel from World Trade Center 7 was saved for analysis. This is disconcerting, considering World Trade Center 7 would have been the first steel framed high-rise building in history to ostensibly collapse due to fire.
The government has destroyed much of the evidence, but there's still some evidence available and photographs of the evidence.
My name is Lynn Margulis. I've been doing science every day since I was about 16 years old. I teach at the University of Massachusetts. I have a PhD in genetics. I reconstruct the past natural history from clues taken to be representational, and that's exactly what we're doing with reconstructing of why the buildings were destroyed in 9/11. In the historical science, that's what must be done. In 1999, I was a recipient of the President's Medal of Science from Clinton, and I received the Da Vinci Award, that is the membership in the Da Vinci Society. You can't do science when you are deprived of the evidence and when your hypothesis is the least valid instead of the most likely. When the most likely hypothesis in the case of Building 7 wasn't even mentioned, this is not science. So the claim is that it's something else. It's trying to prove preconceived ideas.
Was a proper investigation performed that might have revealed the use of accelerants or explosives in World Trade Center 7's destruction?
My name is Stephen Jones, a physicist. I received my PhD in physics from Vanderbilt University in 1978, so I've been at this for over 30 years, studying various subjects. I have published over 50 peer-reviewed papers in my career. NIST concedes that they found no evidence for explosives. So then we asked them, well, did you look? And they said, no, we did not look for explosives or residues of explosives.
I'm Ron Brookman, licensed structural engineer in California, and I received my master's degree in structural engineering from University of California at Davis in 1986. I've been practicing structural engineering ever since then. NIST never did a proper evaluation of the collapse site and the debris. World Trade Center 7, I would have expected they would have tested for explosives also, because of the nature of the collapse and the unprecedented nature of a steel-framed high-rise building collapsing in such a fashion.
My name is Roland Angle. I'm a civil engineer registered in the state of California. I've been practicing in California since 1967. I'm a graduate of the University of California. And my practice has included, among other things, design and testing of structures that were designed to withstand blasts. Specifically, for instance, the launch facilities for the Minuteman missile system. I was a Green Beret for 6 years during the 60s. I was trained in the use of demolitions, and I blew a lot of things up. One of the things that we did was go out and attack structures, analyze them as to where their weak points were, learn how to place explosives at points that would cause them to fail, and then actually demolish them and analyze our results. So the method of how to attack a structure and cause it to fail with explosives was one of the things that I learned through my military training. Well, the American Society of Civil Engineers was brought into this investigation early on. They did a very superficial investigation of the site. They issued a report without any significant forensic examination, and there were laws violated in the destruction of that evidence. And for the American Society of Civil Engineers to ignore those events is extremely disturbing and is a violation, in my opinion, of their professional code of ethics.
I'm Tony Zambodi. I'm a mechanical engineer from the Philadelphia area with over 20 years of experience in the aerospace industry, where I design structures for aircraft and spacecraft and support equipment. Neither NIST or FEMA followed standard protocol for fire and explosion investigations, or just fire investigations for that matter. National Fire Protection Association Guide Number 921 calls for saving the evidence and being prepared to justify why you wouldn't. It also calls for testing for accelerants and explosives when high order damage is involved. NIST did not do this. NIST is often responsible for generating information which the NFPA guides are written from. It makes one wonder why the NFPA standard would not be followed in this case. NIST has not answered this question publicly.
There's national standards that need to be followed. And when I started looking into that, I went into the investigation manual. And so it's called the NFPA 921, and it's the fire and explosion. It's the guide for fire and explosions investigations. And so what it is, it's a national standard. So if an investigator from New York has to come out to the West Coast to help with something, they can fit right in seamlessly into the system and know where what their role is and what they need to be doing. And so I went and I got the manual from 2001, and I went back and I looked at the footage from the original day. There were all kinds of firefighters and civilians that were reporting explosions.
Okay, all right. Here, hold on. You want to call your mother or something?
Oh, boy.
You hear that?
Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down.
Just the fact that there were explosions means they need to be investigated. Terrorists used explosives in 93. We had witnesses to explosions. We have audio recording of explosions. We have overwhelming evidence that there were some explosive events. The manual gets into thermite, and if it says if you have melted steel or concrete, which we had on 9/11, and there's videos of it, people can see it, we should test for it. It says when you have melted steel or concrete, you test for thermite. So the fact that they're not testing for it is crazy. We had 3,000, you know, Americans murdered, and we had the first three high-rise and steel collapses. We have all these reports of explosions. We have the vans pulled over. We have the history of terrorists using explosives. It's absolutely ridiculous that they, I mean, there's no excuse for it. It's criminal, in my opinion. It's absolutely criminal that they refuse to follow the national standards, and the national standards say that they should be testing that for explosives. One of the other big issues we have, the firefighters that are members of the Firefighters for 9/11 Truth, is the just the blatant destruction of evidence. It's we're not talking about a little bit of evidence. They destroyed all the steel, all the basically the bones of the building that would have told us how this first high-rise steel structure in history that hadn't been struck by an airplane, all it had was a few fires on several floors, and it had only been burning for a few hours. We've had other high-rises burn much longer. This was the way we could have learned from this was analyzing that, looking at the steel and seeing how this collapsed and how it failed and which steel members did what. Well, we can't do that because what they did immediately after 9/11 was they started removing the steel, the debris from Tower 7 and all the towers immediately. Why were they destroying this? I mean, they sent it off to China to be recycled. So they never had any physical evidence to do the investigation. The national standards are very clear. We have preservation of evidence. We have spoliation of evidence. There's all kinds of basically standards that you don't destroy evidence. So that's what we're calling for. We're calling for an investigation into the investigators, why they destroyed this. We're calling for a reinvestigation that follows national standards. And the big thing is everybody says this is in the past, leave it in the past, and that's not true. We have Ground Zero workers dying today. They're getting cancers. And several of them don't have medical insurance. The FDNY, most of them are being taken care of by the department, but there were so many thousands of volunteers and members of other departments that showed up, and they were there for months afterwards, and they don't have the medical coverage. They can't make their house payments. They're sick and dying, and we as a country are ignoring them. I mean, we promised we'd never forget, but it looks to me like most people have forgotten, and they want us to forget, and that's what we're here for, is to basically just ask people to take another look into this, you know, show some compassion, and let's help, you know, our brothers and sisters out and really reinvestigate 9/11. I mean, it's changed our world. It's, you know, not to mention that there were 343 brothers murdered, but we're at war over this. We've lost a lot of our freedoms over this, and we don't have the real story on what happened because there wasn't a proper investigation done.
You just heard the first part of the audio from the film 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out. I want to thank David Schoenfeld for helping me extract the audio from the video. Tune in next week to hear the next part of the film. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.